Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress.
Don't miss our huge Memorial Day sale.
Going on now on all Serta mattresses.
Save up to $500 on Serta mattresses.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
KSL at Night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. You are with Taylor Morgan and Adam Gardner. Adam, we were just joined in studio by Boyd Matheson, who hosts Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Boyd really, truly does have inside sources. As we discussed last segment, he personally interviewed Speaker Mike Johnson just a couple weeks ago, had a great conversation there. As we talked about some of the key legislation coming out of Congress, one of those was a very bipartisan bill on TikTok. And this is a big deal, Adam, and we alluded to it a little bit last segment, but the fact that this TikTok bill was packaged with these national security bills, with billions of dollars in aid to foreign allies, I think that's really significant. And that will be a part of this conversation we're going to have now with truly an incredible and very insightful guest.
Yeah, we're really grateful to have Michael Lucci, the founder and the CEO of State Armor Network, which is I've been very lucky to do some work with State Armor, and they go state by state, also with the federal government, in kind of looking for ways that the Chinese government really is acting adversarial against the United States and states individually. It's something that I don't think a lot of people realize. China actually has a stated strategy to go into each individual congressional district all over the country and actually have and gain influence there. So we're really lucky to have Michael Lucci. Michael, how you doing? Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on. And I think you really framed that up really well. As you mentioned, the Chinese government has what's called a subnational strategy in the United States, which means they want to build up influence and really the ability to conduct espionage and leverage against state and local officials as a part of a broader influence campaign, but also just for its own purposes, because state and local officials are very powerful. They have very important responsibilities in our federalist system. So I think that the way you laid it out, they have a comprehensive whole of government really assault upon the United States. And what we need is a whole of government response to that assault.
Now, the TikTok ban, last I saw, it was something like only had 58 no votes. The House of Representatives has 435 members. That's pretty much as bipartisan as it gets nowadays. Do you see that as a good thing that the United States, that the House of Representatives is realizing that TikTok is a threat? And Michael, can you tell us why it is a threat?
Yes, I think that that vote is a very good vote. I think that we have seen this. I know that when we look at politics, we see a lot of divisiveness. But what story should be told is that Democrats and Republicans are actually coming together on key national security issues, in particular issues related to China. And you mentioned that that vote went through the House of Representatives. I think it was over 80% support. 90% of one party, 75% of the other party. So super, super majorities of both parties. And I think it's because exactly what you said, they recognize the threat. And so the threat was multifold from TikTok. One, just straight up espionage. There's been broad reporting on how the parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, used the application to spy upon American journalists who, for example, were meeting with TikTok employees to get information. They were triangulating upon those meetings from China. They've done a lot more than that. They can steal every keystroke that you make on your phone if you have the application on your phone. And perhaps more importantly is they control the algorithm that plants content in the minds of young Americans. So TikTok is actually the number one source of news for Americans under 30 years old. And they are being fed based off of an algorithm of a regime that very frankly just hates the concept of the United States of America. The communist people are great. The Chinese people are great people, but the communist regime, it's just evil. and they are controlling the algorithm that feeds news into Americans. You probably remember there was this revival of Osama bin Laden last year because there was TikTok viral videos about how we should reconsider the arguments made by Osama
almost praising
bin Laden about
him.
How America are evil. It was insane. Then we see some pro-Hamas propaganda come out, all kinds of really weird stuff, but it all has the same angle of undermining United States social unity and national security policy.
Michael, the House previously passed a version of this legislation. We're speaking about the bill that passed the U.S. House of Representatives over the weekend requiring ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, to sell the company. The previous legislation that passed the House put that period at 6 months. It subsequently stalled out in the U.S. Senate. This updated measure puts that sell period at 9 months. Do we know if this has support in the U.S. Senate? Do we expect it to continue going through the legislative process?
There's a tacit agreement that this is going through the Senate and quickly. I believe that I believe that Senator Schumer is actually calling the senators back to take a vote on this broad package. And remember, the TikTok divestment bill goes with the broader foreign aid package that's going out to Ukraine, Israel, et cetera. And so I believe that that's actually going to happen very quickly. I think that the next speed bump, I don't want to make too broad of assumptions, but based on the public statements of the senators and President Biden, this is going to go through. The next speed bump is it's going to go to court where TikTok's going to sue and say it's illegal to force them to divest from ownership, from Chinese communist ownership.
So I got another question for you, Michael. What has been interesting to me is on the presidential election side, when President Trump was in office, he wanted to get rid of TikTok completely. He wanted to ban it unilaterally. And then Biden wasn't so sure. Now Biden's the president. He's willing to sign the bill. And Trump just, I don't know what you call tweeting on Truth Social. He truthed it. he said on Truth Social that he wanted to make sure that everyone knew, every young person knew that it was Biden that wanted to ban their favorite app, not him, not Trump. Trump loves it. They've kind of done this switch. What happened? What do you make of that?
I think that this issue is just making strange politics, and you're pointing it out. So actually, to be very specific, President Trump issued an executive order to ban TikTok. He issued that executive order. President Biden rescinded that executive order. That was one of the first actions President Biden took, was he rescinded the executive order that would ban TikTok operating in the United States. And so, as you point out, we fast forward and they've kind of reversed positions. I think that fundamentally, I think they both understand that it's a national security threat. They've both at different times spoken to it being a national security threat. And so while President Trump is making comments that are kind of targeting Facebook, and he has an axe to grind with Facebook for a number of reasons. I think that they both fundamentally understand. I think that Democrats and Republicans understand that this is a real threat, and they're coming together on lots of issues like this.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's hugely significant, as we mentioned at the very beginning of the segment, Michael, that this TikTok bill requiring the divestment by ByteDance of TikTok in 9 months, this was passed along with some very significant foreign aid packages. What is the message, that the U.S. Congress is sending to China here? What is the message, do you think?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, actually. I mean, clearly Congress is sending a message that they regard the Communist Party, the Chinese government, as a huge threat. And we're dealing with that threat in the context of dealing with other threats. You have Russia, you have the folks who are attacking Israel, so that's Hamas, and then, you know, the Iranians in some form. But then that bill gave a little bit of money to Taiwan. And so I think that there is a little bit of an interesting mixed message. Not to speak to the specific validity of any part of that appropriation, but Taiwan is getting the least resource, and Taiwan faces by far the biggest threat of all of our allies. It's nowhere close. I mean, no American ally has ever faced a threat like the Communist Party controlling China. They have a huge GDP, huge military. It's bigger than the Nazis and the Japanese combined back in World War II. When you compare it, its size to the United States. So I think that we're showing that we recognize the threat that they present. I would argue that we need to go a little bit further in prioritizing that theater, the Pacific theater, amongst the other theaters that we have to address.
Yeah. Michael Lucci, founder, CEO, and chairman of State Armor, where you are developing and enacting state solutions to global security threats. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here on KSL at Night. We look forward to having you back soon to keep us updated on new developments.
Thank you so much for having me.
Adam, very interesting, very compelling stuff. I'm so glad that we had a chance to speak with Michael. A lot of insight there. Coming up next, we are going to wrap up KSL at Night tonight by having perhaps the most controversial, heated discussion of the evening, Adam, and that is, what is your favorite name for Utah's new NHL hockey team? Listeners, that is coming up right after this.
911, emergency.
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.